Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Welcome back. So the 147th Open Championship at Carnoustie was a doozy. It was stunningly good yesterday and on Saturday, and frankly was good pretty much from Thursday through to Sunday. And in the end, with his bogey-free weekend, it was Francesco Molinari who became the first Italian to win a major, and he really is the form player in the world at the moment. He won at Wentworth, he's won on the PGA Tour, he was second at the John Deere the week before, and nobody really was talking about him in any great depth, but he came along and playing alongside Tiger Woods was quite brilliant. Finished up on 8-under, two shots clear of Rose and McIlroy and Kisner and Xander Schauffele. And then, of course, the whole thing was electrified by Tiger Woods, who at the turn, in fact at the 10th hole, was leading. It was a remarkable thing. He played a brilliant front nine, two birdies out in 34, and then disaster struck in 11. A double bogey, real mental error from Woods, chipped on from the edge of the green and got a bit too clever and it rolled back and he was in bother, and then bogeyed the 12th and struggled from then on to catch Molinari, his playing partner. Afterwards, Woods gave his assessment of finishing tied for 6th.
A little ticked off at myself, for sure. I had a chance starting that back nine to do something, and I didn't do it. I thought today, starting at the day, I saw that Jason played a beautiful round early. Brooksy played another solid round today, and I thought that thought nine would be the number. You know, there are three guys at nine. I figured one of the three guys would shoot even par. I know it's tough out there, but I figured I needed to go get that number somehow. And you know, next thing, lo and behold, I'm tied for lead, and then I'm leading it. And you know, that unfortunately I hit a bad 3-iron off the tee there at 10, grass grabbed my shaft again and hit it left, and I made a couple mistakes there on the green. And same thing at 12, the grass grabbed the shaft, this time I turned it open and made bogey there. Today I did everything the way that I thought I needed to do it to win the championship. This entire week I felt like I needed to keep building my way into this championship. It's one of those where, as I said early in the week, it's going to be about 10, 12 guys with a chance to win it on Sunday, because we're all driving in the same areas. And it kind of turned out that way. There are a bunch of guys packed, a bunch of guys with a chance to win, and I was one of them. You know, I was saying earlier that, you know, I need to try and keep it in perspective, because at the beginning of the year, if you would have said you were playing the Open Championship, I would have said, you know, I'd be very lucky to do that. You know, I talked to you know, Serena and I are good friends, and we're, you know, I'm sure she'll probably call me and talk to me about it, because you got to put things in perspective. She just had a baby and lost Wimbledon finals. I used to just keep it in perspective. And the same thing with me. I know that it's going to sting for a little bit here. But given where I was to where I'm at now, blessed.
It really was, and it was a difficult day, too, when you really wouldn't expect Tiger to mount a comeback the way he did. And as you said, I think everyone on the golf course, I was out following the Spieth group at the time, but everyone was glued to the leaderboards going around the golf course. And typically, the defending champion playing in the last group, Spieth, would have commanded the biggest gallery. But the gallery in Spieth's group just started migrating towards Tiger as the front nine went on and on. And you could just see everyone thinking, wow, Tiger's going to make it all the way back. He's going to win, not only win, but win a major. And it was really amazing. It was an amazing feeling for about maybe 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes. It was, everyone thought, wow.
Because at Carnoustie, there's electrical scoreboards all over the course. So everybody, I mean, there were cheers actually going up on the TV, which made no sense to the action we were watching. And we could only presume it was the scoreboards changing.
That's interesting. Yeah, that does happen. The funny thing was that Tiger, I watched Tiger play the ball when I was waiting for Spieth to go off. And he hit a decent tee shot at the left side. It was just into a howling wind, about a 20, 25 mile an hour wind. He just hit a frozen rope, long iron, dead in the wind, never left the flagstick. He made a par at the first hole. I must say, before I saw that shot, I wasn't a believer. I didn't really feel like Tiger could play at that level again. But when I saw him hit that one iron shot, I thought, wow, he could do it. Now, thinking he can do it and actually getting in the lead the way he did are two very different things. But he gave us some serious excitement there for a couple of hours.
How do you explain what happened on 11 with that double bogey? So He gets a bit of a break in some respects. He hits off the crowd. His lie didn't look that bad. I mean, the amateur hacker that I am, you're kind of watching it, and Woods has such a strategic brain, and you're looking at the leaderboard and you're saying to yourself, you're really in this. Just get this ball on the green and take your par putt from 15, 20 feet, and so be it if you bogey it. It seemed he just got a bit too clever with it.
I think some of that might be the fact that he hadn't been there in a long time. You know, the Tiger that we knew that was winning 14 major championships didn't make mental mistakes. And that was clearly, you know, that's the kind of mistakes that Tiger didn't make. So let's not forget the fact that he hasn't won a major in over 10 years. Maybe there's some doubt there. Who knows?
It would have been very interesting to see on 11 if he hadn't been in the lead, if he'd been tied for 10th, how he might have handled that hole, to see if it was pressure or wasn't pressure, because it was just so out of sync with how he'd played. And Padraig Harrington, who's a fairly astute observer of things, his comments afterwards, he was talking to Sky Sports News, he was saying, I'm surprised that Tiger got to the lead and then didn't get better. He said, I predicted that once he got those feelings that he would actually reset to the old Tiger Woods, and that it's a lot easier when you're under pressure to go back to your natural state. I thought Tiger would have reset to the man that we saw in the early 2000s once he got in the lead. But he's pretty much like the rest of us now. He's human now. He's not two steps ahead. And Harrington was making the point that Woods is unlikely to declare that he can win with his B game at the moment. He said his A game is certainly capable of winning, but the B game not just yet. So Harrington was slightly surprised that once Woods actually got in front, he didn't take off a la the man who won the 14 majors.
I would have to agree. I think that Potter is right. You know, he's got scar tissue for 10 years of having not won, when he pretty much won majors on call. He only got beaten a couple times down the stretch. Y.E. Yang at Hazeltine at the USPGA beat him. But for the most part, when Tiger was there in the lead on Sunday, he won. Players around him crumbled. Francesco Molinari playing alongside him, watching Tiger, you know, he was not intimidated in the least bit. He just kept grinding out pars. He made 13 straight pars before he made his first birdie at the 14th, the par 5. So he had a front row seat. In the old days, the players crumbled. Even better players than Molinari, who, of course, now is a major champion, but multiple major champions in Els and Goosen and Vijay Singh, those guys, you know, they used to capitulate the Tiger, and it did not happen yesterday.
There's no doubt that he's trending in the right direction. It's hard to know how many more chances he gets like this. Like, this will have to go down as a big chance miss for him, as happy as he must be.
The thing is, at Tiger's age, you only have a limited number of majors left. And you're only going to be playing well in an even smaller number. And playing well and getting in position on Sunday in an even smaller number. So his chances of winning shrink every single major. And now he only has one more this year, the USPGA Championship, in a couple of weeks. And then it's, you know, another 6-7 months until Augusta. Most people felt like the Open is the best chance for Tiger to win now, because it's more wide open and they're more forgiving, especially a dry brown golf course like what we had last week at Carnoustie. It was a perfect storm for someone like Tiger to come back and win. Because it was forgiving. Even though it was playing fast, it was a forgiving golf course.
Yeah. And, I mean, we saw him take the iron out of the bag. Some people thought he was a bit too conservative on the Thursday and the Friday, but either way, he could play iron off the tee as opposed to driver. Like, there's no doubt he can hit the driver a long way, but he's only hitting about 48% of fairways all season. So he's not overly confident when he stands on a tee box and has to hit a fairway with a driver. That is still going to be an issue for him going forward if he's going to win a major.
Besides that, you know, really 15, 18 months where Tiger won the Tiger Slam, essentially, where he held all four majors, not the calendar year, but I think it was a Grand Slam. If you hold all four major championship trophies at the same time, that's the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
And I think Tiger did that. But besides that one stretch in 2000, 2001, Tiger has never been a good driver. So I think it might be foolish to think that, you know, later on in age, after all the injuries and problems he's had, that he would become a good driver. Probably pretty unlikely.
So that's Tiger, and that, like, if we take the broad historical view of golf, the fact that he's back and potentially in the hunt for a 15th major is kind of thrilling. And look, it's not a long-term solution for the popularity issue that golf faces, but geez, it's a pretty good short-term solution, Tiger being back in the mix. It means we almost overlook Francesco Molinari to an extent. Look, I think realistically for a lot of the casual sports fans, the air went out of it when Tiger went out of it. Molinari, though, stood up brilliantly, as you said, played alongside Woods. Like, bogey free at the weekend is a fairly extraordinary thing. The word on Molinari is that he's always been an excellent ball striker, always found fairways and found greens, but frankly was not a very good putter by these standards.
He wasn't, but I watched him win at Wentworth this year at the BMW PGA Championship. He holed out really well. He had the field at arm's length. He had a pretty good size lead on the Sunday and just, you know, wasn't pushed and didn't do anything silly. Hold out putts when he needed to. And then, 3 weeks ago, he just trounced the field and won by 8 shots. And the very following week, actually the week before the Open, I was surprised that he played in the States. He went to the John Deere and finished second comfortably in a four-way tie, but still finished second and now won. So he's last 3 weeks, he's won, finished second, and won. And the third one was his first major. So he's a different player now. He knows how to hole out. I think he has confidence. The thing about putting is, if you believe you're going to make it, you have a better chance of making it.
Yeah.
If you have the same putt and don't believe, chances are you won't make it.
Two other players to ask you about. I will get to Spieth, seeing as you were following him, and he was fairly compelling. Here was Rory McIlroy's reaction when he was speaking to the media after his final round, tied for second.
Anything under par out there today was a good score. I'm happy with how I played. I didn't get off to a great start, but I hung in there and I battled back and just sort of ran out of holes at the end.
When did you think you were back in it?
When that putt went in on 14. Maybe when I made birdie on 11, I saw that Tiger was leading on his own at 7 at that point. I just got into 5. So, you know, 2 behind with a few holes left, I thought I was right in it. But yeah, when the eagle putt went in on 14, I felt, you know, if I could, you know, get one or two out of these last four holes. But it was just tough, you know, the where they'd put the pins, and with the wind, it was tough to get them close and tough to make birdies. And as I said, the only real chance was at the last. And even if I had held that putt, I would have came up one short. You know, just to be a part of it and hear the roars and Tiger being back in the mix and. You know, everything, you know, there's a lot of big names up there, and it was nice to be a part of it. And, you know, I looked for a while that Tiger was going to win. And, you know, one of my mindset was I'm going to spoil the party here. So that was, you know, it was cool. It was really cool. I've no regrets. I played the way I wanted to play this week. And it gives me a lot of encouragement going into the final major of the year.
Do you feel like you young guys are going to deal with Tiger now for a few years?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not Tiger that, you know, Phil and Ernie and all those guys had to deal with. It's a different version, but, you know, he's right there. You know, he's right there. He's getting himself in the mix. You know, he looked good in D.C. A couple of weeks back. He's looked good here. I'm not sure if that finish is going to get him into Akron or not, but, you know, he's played a full schedule. He's healthy. I wouldn't say we're worried about him, but he's one of the guys that's always in with a shot.
So that's Rory McIlroy, Jay. So tied second is him moving in the right direction, not least after missing the cut at the US Open. I mean, first 5 holes, he had 2 bogeys. He was back to -3. The lead was at -9. I mean, he was gone. He did rally well. Like, his last 10 holes, he was 2 under.
Well, he certainly turned it on at the end, no question about that. I followed Rory the back 9 of the 3rd round. Andrew Coulthard for Sky Sports walked around with him all 18. And I kind of got Andrew filled me in on what went on the front 9, and I pretty much witnessed the same thing on the back 9. Rory is driving the ball incredibly well. He put himself in position with so many short irons and wedges. He wasn't hitting his wedge shots close to the hole. It's been a problem in the past where, he didn't hit wedge shots not only the right distance, but online. And for somebody of his ability, I don't think that he hit the ball close enough to the hole with his approach shots for where he drove the ball. And, you can say, well, you're not I'm not putting well, but are you putting the ball close enough to the hole to really realistically be able to hole out? And I think that's kind of what's going on with Rory right now.
Yeah.
He's playing well.
Yeah.
But he's not hitting it. He's not taking advantage of the great driving, I think, is what it comes down to. He's close.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned the wedge play, because we so often talk about the putting. So he putted better at this Open than he has in some time. He had 28 putts yesterday, 26 putts on Saturday, and 29 on Friday. And yes, he missed a 5-footer yesterday, but you know, he rolls a birdie in from 45 feet and 9. He's that 40-foot eagle putting 14. So the putting was probably okay. Paul McGinley was on the show a while back talking about his wedge play. And his, and look, we're all looking in from afar, but he felt McIlroy was, and has been, doing too much with his hands through the ball with his wedges. And a few people made the observation over the past week that McIlroy is trying to do less with his hands at the moment, almost kind of dead-handed in. You might give us, I mean, you've played in the European Tour, you know a lot more about this than most of us. Did you spot that in McIlroy, that he's trying to take his hands out of his wedge play?
What I saw was that McIlroy has a body that is so supple, okay? It's almost like with a wedge shot, a lot of the wedge shots that he had, they weren't full wedge shots, they were three-quarter wedge shots. He doesn't have a backstop to his, you know, three-quarter wedge shot,
yeah.
Meaning it's too long and too loose for the length of shot he's trying to play. You know, he has a very loose swing when he has a full swing, and, you know, that's why he hits it so far and that type of thing. It just doesn't look to me like he can dial in 80 yards or dial in 95 yards or dial in 62 yards.
Mm.
He doesn't look comfortable and confident with the shots that he's giving himself with his great driving.
Mm.
That was the biggest observation I got on Saturday afternoon, was he just doesn't seem to be in control of his wedge game in distance and trajectory.
And surely, Jay, through just even reps, you know, like bring it back to 9 o'clock in the backswing or whatever, doing that a couple of hundred times would surely get him there.
How about multiply that by a couple hundred times?
Yeah.
A couple hundred times doesn't do it for professional golf. I mean, these guys hit thousands of golf balls.
Yeah. Well, a couple of thousand then. He's got the time.
Right. He does have the time. I was just kind of being, somewhat humorous about it, but it takes thousands and thousands of balls to dial that type of thing in. Dustin Johnson has improved his wedge game. He was a poor wedge player 5-6 years ago. Dustin Johnson works a tremendous amount of time with his, even on tournament days before he tees off, with his track man, as far as his, not his swing speed and ball speed, but his carry distance with 3-quarter shots. He'll hit it and look down at the screen, hit it and look down at the screen. He's gotten very mathematical and mechanical in his dialing in his wedge distances. And I think that's all Rory needs, because let's face it, no one drives a ball like Rory does. There are players that hit it further. I mean, Ryan Fox, who lost in the playoff at the Irish Open, he hits it miles further than Rory. But no one drives it as good as Rory.
Yeah. Jordan Spieth then, finally. So 65 on the Saturday. And, you know, we're kind of laughing here that, like, the boy wonder does it again. None of this form was visible in his regular season events, bar the Masters. And then he comes along at the Open and seems to just find inspiration somehow. What did you see yesterday then? Tied for ninth, 33 putts, 3 bogeys, 1 double, no birdies. What was going on with Jordan yesterday?
Well, like I said, I followed him the first round, and he looked unimpressive, to be honest with you. He was 3-under through much of the round and finished poorly. He hasn't had a great year. He's putting horrendously for him. He's down below the top 150 in the PGA Tour rankings of putting. When he was at his best and went to world number one a few years ago, he was one of the best putters on the planet. He is just not holding out well. And what comes down to is, on a difficult day like it was yesterday, his ball striking wasn't up to snuff for the windy conditions. And then when you're not hitting it well, you have to rely on your putter. And then when your putter's not working, it turned into a disaster day for Spieth. And that's really, you know, you can't do smoke and mirrors at a major championship for 4 days. You can do it for a day or two, sometimes 3 days, but not 4 days.
Okay. Jay, thanks so much for your time. Great stuff.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.